Good morning. Well, let's try that again. Good morning. I always love that. That's always fun. Hello, guys. I have the pleasure of introducing my pastor this morning to you guys. He's a pastor at the Community Missionary Church. He's down the tracks, past the tracks. And I've been there for 2 years. He's a great guy. Sometimes you might see him sitting down in the cafeteria, eating with some people and talking with them as well. But here's some actual facts about him. Pastor Rich Kreesh and his wife Diana are the proud parents of 5 children and, get this, 10 grandchildren. 3 children and 1 son-in-law are Asbury grads. Pastor Rich was a former high school's history teacher and coach. You'll get that in his sermon sometimes, the reference to being a coach. Before attending Asbury Seminar and graduating in 1991. He served churches in Michigan before being called to pastor the Community Missionary Church here in Wilmore. He's also currently chairs the Wilmore Clergy Association. But what always has struck me about Pastor Rich is just his jokeful manner and just very friendly way of just getting you to come in and obviously he wants you to get to know you better. And it's always been great. So please join me in welcoming Pastor Rich Kreesh.
It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you all this morning, and I want to thank you for that opportunity. I would also like to ask just a special moment of privilege, if I might. You just heard Elias introduce my wife, but I would ask that if you would welcome her, if she would stand. Diana, would you please stand? As you heard, I spent a number of years teaching high school history. And I was notorious for things called pop quizzes, unannounced quizzes, which my students hated with a passion. So being a kind, considerate person, I decided I would change the name, and I called them mom quizzes. And so in order for me to relax and feel comfortable today, I have to do that to you all, but we're going to do it by classes because I've heard that you people are some of the brightest, most intelligent people that have walked across these grounds since Asbury College was begun. And so we're going to do it in order. We're going to start with the freshmen and then the sophomores, the juniors, the seniors. And so the faculty doesn't feel left out, and we have one for them too. Now, whoever wins this competition gets to eat lunch whenever you eat lunch. Freshmen, you guys are up here, right? Are you ready? Now, you have 5 seconds to answer this question, and if you know the answer, just holler it out, and if you're wrong, your seat will eject you. Now, here we go. Are you ready? How far can a dog run into the woods? Very good. Why? Excellent. Sophomores, a little more pressure. Good. All right. Sophomores, how many animals of every kind did Moses take on the ark? What? I heard Noah. Very good. You guys are good too. Excellent. Juniors, it's a little tougher. Are you ready? Y'all know what a clerk in a butcher shop is? This could be hard. There's this guy that works in a butcher shop. He's 5 feet, 10 inches tall. How much does he weigh? Or what does he weigh? Meat. Very good. You guys are sharp. All right. Seniors, where are you? How many birthdays does the average person have?
One.
You can all go home now because the rest of us are dead. One when? One every year or just one? It's one every year, but you guys are close. Faculty, you got maybe a little harder one. This is a U.S. history question. Is Dr. McKinley here? Okay, the rest of you might have a chance. U.S. history. What was the president of the United States' name in 1950? Whoa. Anybody? Thank you, George W. Bush, whoever said that. You're right, it was. Okay, now that we've got that taken care of, we will move on. From time to time, as time will allow, I come here to sit in the back over there in chapel. And as I come into chapel and I sit, I engage in one of my more favorite pastimes, which is a little bit tougher today, which is people watching, and you get lawsuits about those things after a while. But in the people watching, I've noticed a couple of things as you all come in. I've noticed that some of you come in sort of slumped over, and I'm trying to figure out, is it because you're carrying all the world's problems on your shoulders, or if you have 18 of the most humongous textbooks in your backpack? But I've also noticed that as you enter into the chapel here, that you have a tendency to hug on each other and do all those kinds of things, and I'm thinking, as a former camp counselor, not a whole lot of PDA unless it's your BFF. And I've also noticed that in the process that you guys do a lot of sharing and catching up until the chimes are played. You know, we do something similar like that with our children, because our kids are spread out over 4 different states now. And we share with them through phone calls, emails, and once in a great while that ancient thing called a letter. And in the process of that, one of our kids sent me on the email thing, or sent us this story. And if you've heard this story, just pay very close attention, like you really don't know what's going on, so I feel better. But it seems like in the midst of this story that was sent, this guy broke into a house one day, and as he was breaking into this house, he was going to steal the home entertainment center, and he turned on his flashlight, and he started to make the disconnections and all that stuff, and all of a sudden he heard, "Jesus is watching you." And he turned off the flashlight and looked around and couldn't see anything in the dark, so he turned the flashlight back on, started again, and heard, "Jesus is watching you." And he thought, "Come on, there's got to be somebody here." So he shines his flashlight after about the 4th time of hearing that, and the flashlight zeroes in on a parrot, and he says to the parrot, "Is that you that's talking?" And the parrot says, "Yes." And he said, "What's your name, parrot?" And the parrot says, "Moses." Well, this guy looks at the parrot, and he says, "I didn't see you over there, sir. I'm so sorry." "Okay." And he says, "What kind of ridiculous people would name a parrot Moses?" And the parrot said, "The same one that named the Rottweiler Jesus." I'm totally convinced, through and through, that at that very moment, that burglar was anticipating something, and he was probably anxious of what might be coming next. This coming Sunday is the beginning of Advent. It's the beginning of the Advent season, when the Christian community as a whole comes together to anticipate the celebration of the birth of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Hear these words this morning that were penned so, so many years ago by the prophet Isaiah. In chapter 9, we find these words: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of the death, the light has sprawled." And then if you go on down a little further, we find these words: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end." Would you pray with me for just a moment, please? Lord God, as we take these next few minutes and look at your word, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct, and you would give us ears to hear only what you would have each of us hear. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take you back. I want to take you back to those days so very long ago. So I'm going to ask you to use something that you may not use a whole lot anymore, and that is, I want you to use your imagination for just a moment. I want you to imagine, for example, that's the very first time you ever heard these words: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of his peace there will be no end." Could he, would he be the one to get rid of the foreign rulers out of your land? Would he, could he be the one that would take it back to like it was? Would you be anticipating his arrival? Not a rhetorical question, but what does that word anticipation mean? I looked it up and it says something like this. It means to ascertain or to expect or to foresee. But then would you be experiencing something called anxiety and anxiousness? And that seems to mean an extreme uneasiness, a worrisome outlook, or an ardent wishful, or maybe even a fearful concern. Imagine waiting for that baby to come, that king to come. Imagine waiting. And I know you know this from Old Testament classes. Imagine waiting 450 years. Two questions for each of you, very, very personal questions. This morning, yesterday, maybe even before, what are you anticipating? What makes you anxious? May I hazard a guess? Exams are just around the corner. And there's probably one or two textbooks you haven't read yet, and you just know for a fact some of those things in there are going to be on the exam. That part of your anxiety I can identify with. I've been there and done that. Return with me, if you would, back a number of decades to my undergrad school days, way back when. And if you will, for just a moment, my last semester in undergrad school at the university. I was doing my student teaching. I was anticipating graduation. After all, I had crowded 4 years of academic excellence into 6.5, and I was ready to get out of there. I wasn't worried about landing a teaching job because I'd been promised one when I was a junior in college, so that was already a done deal. But what I was anticipating, in addition to graduation, was getting married to the most awesome, beautiful, wonderful girl in the entire state of Michigan. What makes you anxious today? What are you anticipating? But then I became extremely agitated and experienced great anxiety because we had to cut our honeymoon short because I got this letter that said, "Greetings from the President of the United States. You have been selected." Now, for those of you that don't study history, there was a draft in the United States at that time, and I don't mean a breeze. It was when you got this letter and you learned to dislike whomever the president was at that particular time. And so we had to cut our honeymoon short so I could come home to go get my physical for the military service. And a part of that thing was they ask you, "Man, are you guys excited to be here, to wear the uniform, to defend your country?" And I said, "No, I'm not." And he said, "Why not?" I said, "Because I want to go home to my wife, my new brand new wife of 8 days. I really am not interested in defending the country at this moment." What are you anticipating? What makes you anxious? Men and women, think now for a few minutes. Think of the anxious moments in your life, and you've had them. You've already had them. Do some of those moments seem to be so very, very dark? It's like you're over at Mammoth Cave down in the Grand Central Station thing. If you've ever been there, when they turn out the lights, you literally cannot see the hand in front of your face. Now relate those thoughts to what Isaiah said in 9:2 about the people being in a great darkness. The word misery could be used here. Do you know someone today who's walking around in misery and or sorrow? Think again of waiting 450 years for these verses and this prophecy to be fulfilled. And then think of the 45 seconds you can't wait in a fast food line to get food. What makes you anxious? We're anxious for our children. We're anxious for our grandchildren. We wonder, as I am sure you wonder, what does tomorrow hold? In my journal, there are numerous entries of me writing prayers for our grandchildren. That they will, using my terminology, they will be radically sold out to Jesus Christ. But right next to their names is another phrase. for the spouses that I have no idea who they are, that the spouses that they will eventually marry, even our grandchildren that aren't born yet, I pray for, that their spouses too will be radically sold out to Jesus. What makes you anxious? Question. Do you know, have you ever thought about the fact that God is also anxious? God is anxious to do everything possible to help us to grow, to be like Jesus. Man, I wish I'd have said that. But that's in a book called Holiness for Ordinary People by Keith Drury. Have you ever remotely considered the fact of God being anxious for you? Have you ever considered it? Have you ever taken time to go off by yourself and meditate, seriously contemplate and consider that the God who created the universe and everything around us is anxious about you? You know, he sent his one and only son to die upon the cross that you see right back here, so that you and I have an opportunity to have a relationship with him. And he's anxiously waiting for you and for me to draw closer and closer to him. But you know, you're very, very fortunate because you see that all the time. You're reminded of that three times a week when you come in here. It's right up there. It says, Holiness unto the Lord. You see, I believe with all of my heart that Christianity is much more than a religion. I believe it's a relationship. It's a relationship with a living person. His name is Jesus Christ. But you know what makes me really anxious? It's because there are so many days that I just blow it completely. Do you? Do you get anxious when you mess up? How many times do we stop and remember how great it is that we have a Savior, that if we are 100% honest and confess our sins, He forgives us? But yet in our task, work-orientated society, there are so many of us that believe if we just do the right thing, say the right thing, read these other books, do this, do that, do something else, all's going to be cool with God and it's going to be okay. And yet you and I know that's not the way it is. You and I know down deep in our being that God does not want our service as much as He desires our devotion, the free offering of ourselves to Him in gratitude for His unspeakable gift to us, Himself. And out of our gratitude then flows our service as an act of love, love not only toward the Lord our God, but also to those who are around us. But as I grow older, I become more anxious. And yet I'm full of excitement, I'm full of anticipation. But what is it that creates that anxiousness within me? Now please don't laugh at this, because what I'm about to say is true. When I was growing up, I remember that people read their Bible every day and took a bath only on Saturday night. Today, most everybody in this country takes at least one shower a day and maybe will read their Bible once a week if that's in church. That makes me anxious. I'm also anxious because I so oftentimes see people who read superficially God's Word. Oh, they can quote us chapter and verse and tell us all kinds of things that fit where they're at this particular moment to defend what they want to do. But I wonder, do they really know the author of the words that they speak? What makes you anxious? Now let me tell you what I anticipate. First, let me say that I believe that we, you and I, that we're living in what I have come to call an Acts chapter 2 world. You all know Acts chapter 2. There's this group of people gathered in an upper room and the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they make all kinds of noise and say all kinds of things. And Peter goes out and preaches the first sermon and 3,000 people come to Jesus that day. You know what I'm talking about. And I think in the world in which we live today, it mirrors that world back then. But you know, there are many, many people living right here in Wilmore and beyond who do not know Jesus. They have no clue who he is. There are others here in Wilmore who are so lonely that they've never had a visitor come knock on their door just to visit, let alone share the life-saving grace of Jesus Christ. There are younger families in this community that are struggling to make ends meet. There are skaters that I see on the streets and on the sidewalks that are in need of friends. All of them either need to know Jesus or to know him better. And what an awesome opportunity that provides for you and me. And there's no better time, no better time than right now for all of us gathered here together to say, I can make a difference. You see, I wait with great expectation to see what Jesus is going to do in and through all of you young men and women that are gathered here. Not after you graduate, then yes, but also today, tomorrow, and the next day. This is a great time to prepare and to participate because I believe in and through you there is going to become another great awakening in this land before you people go to meet your Lord. It's a time for you and I to arise and to go make a difference. You are being called. You are being prepared right here, right now at Asbury for that to take place. Just as the people long ago had a pleasurable anticipation, you too can change the world for Jesus. The old school teacher and the coach comes out because I know that you are gonna do it. I know that you can do it. To quote one of my favorite contemporary music groups, I would put them number two on chart. Number one is Skillet. Number two are the Newsboys. And they have a line in a song that's been on the radio a few times. It says, wherever you go, that's where the party at. And why in the world, as Christians, doesn't that happen? Why doesn't that happen enough? You see, as followers of Jesus, we're called to be the light. We're called to come to him. And my expectation, my anticipation is for you to go and make a difference. And man, I know that you will. I just know that you will. Would you pray with me? Father God, in the quietness of this moment, each of us, each and every one of us are on a journey. We're not all at the same place. But yet, you're calling each of us to use the gifts and the talents that you've given us to make a difference wherever you will place us and where you've placed us at this very moment. We anticipate, well, actually, we probably anticipate Christmas a little more, if we're very honest, than what we might receive, than we anticipate what we could give to another. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to reverse that order, to remember that it's about giving, not about getting. Help us, Father, to understand deep within our very being that each of us, regardless of the youngest one here to the most elderly one here, that each of us have been called by you to go and make a difference. Lord God, I anticipate, I expect that these young men and women will do that for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the only thing I can think of to say in the end is this. God loves you, and so do I. Amen. Guys, I think I'm supposed to tell you as they come up that you are, I think the word is dismissed. And as I look at the clock, I mean, you got time to go get a cup of coffee before you go to your next class.